ancient, beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. Patricia Hearst apparently will be taken to Los Angeles Monday for arraignment on state criminal charges. This is Don Kladstrup reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Los Angeles County District Attorney says Ms. Hearst will be arraigned on charges of kidnapping, robbery, and assault. More on the story from John Goodman of station KNX in L.A.
John Vandekamp says the convicted bank robber's itinerary is being kept secret for security reasons.
The best information we have is that she'll be here at 9 to be arraigned by Judge Gertzen in Department 134. I do not know where she is at this point and how she'll be brought in and how long she'll be here.
District Attorney Vandekamp says his office intends to oppose any defense efforts to gain a lengthy delay in the Hearst trial based on publicity resulting from her conviction in San Francisco. John Goodman for CBS News, Los Angeles.
FBI documents reveal the agency burglarized the offices of the Socialist Workers Party on numerous occasions during the early 1960s. The documents were released to the party on orders of a court. Attorney General Edward Levy, meanwhile, has ordered an independent investigation of the agency. The probe, according to Time magazine, will center on charges of unethical acts by FBI officials, such as making unlawful deals in the purchase of cars and electronic materials. It also reportedly will cover allegations the FBI once maintained files on Supreme Court justices. Officials at MIT have ordered an investigation into charges that a student from Taiwan is acting as a spy. The investigation was ordered after complaints were received of a Taiwanese student taking pictures of other Taiwanese students at an engineering forum. MIT President Jerome Wiesner said he'd received reports that the picture-taking student was performing some surveillance function for the Taiwanese government. Reports that China's oil-producing capacity was crippled by a series of fires and explosions earlier this month appear to be unfounded. In fact, China says oil production is up. More on the story from Barry Kalb in Hong Kong.
The Chinese response was indirect, but its basic message was there's no truth to reports that the Dajing oil fields were severely damaged by fire early this year. The reports of the fire seem to have originated in Taiwan. They quoted both information from American intelligence satellites and Western diplomatic sources here in Hong Kong. The report said production at Dajing has been severely curtailed because of the reported fire. By the end of last week, however, American and other diplomats here had concluded the reports were groundless. And yesterday, the new China news agency said oil workers at Dajing have met all quotas this year and, in fact, have set a record for first quarter production. The Chinese dispatch did not mention the reports of the fire directly, but there's little doubt it was a reply to the Taiwanese claim. Barry Kalb, CBS News, Hong Kong.
An Irish Republican Army spokesman warns that Britain can expect more bombing attacks unless it takes its troops out of Northern Ireland. Saturday, the IRA claimed responsibility for an explosion which injured 85 persons at an exhibition hall. Criminals in British prisons reportedly have launched their own style of retaliation against IRA extremists. According to a London newspaper, inmates have been plotting to hang convicted IRA bombers in their cells. Egyptian President Sadat has urged that Arab countries send troops to Lebanon to try to stop the fighting there. Sadat warned that the fighting threatens the peace and security of the entire Middle East. In Beirut, the last right-wing stronghold on the city's strategic seafront has fallen to leftist forces. Left-wing gunmen, assisted by Palestinian commandos, overran the Hilton Hotel Sunday. Over 100 persons were reported killed. Prospects for a ceasefire, meanwhile, seem poor, with leftists reportedly having rejected the latest peace plan submitted by Syria. Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield has accused Secretary of State Kissinger of indulging in useless rhetoric. Mansfield, appearing on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday, was commenting about Kissinger's threats of actions against Cuba. Mansfield said he didn't think there was anything to the threats. When asked if Congress would agree to a blockade of Cuba if Cuba should become further involved in Africa, Mansfield said he hoped not and that he would not vote for it. More CBS News after this.
You're listening to the beginning of something. An automobile commercial? No. As a matter of fact, it's the beginning of a new phase in a man's life. A man who looks different, moves differently, speaks differently, because he was born with cerebral palsy. The new phase in his life began when he started the engine of that car and drove off with his brand new operator's license in his pocket. His name is Joe Elko, man with cerebral palsy, college student, and now automobile driver. It upsets some people to see Joe get into that car. In fact, it upsets some people to see him at all. That's because they don't understand that although Joe may look different, inside he's no different than anyone else. He and United Cerebral Palsy are looking forward to the day when everyone will understand. In the meantime, Joe joins us in hoping you'll give generously to United Cerebral Palsy. They had a hand in helping him become what he is today, a man with a future.
Teamsters appear to have voted overwhelmingly to approve a nationwide trucking strike, but negotiators for both sides say they think they can reach a settlement before the Wednesday deadline. Thursday is the target date for a bus and subway strike in New York City, but another dispute, this one at a Ford Motor Company axle plant in Sterling Heights, Michigan, has been settled. Don Kladstrup, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for a warming trend with increasing cloudiness tonight and a little light rain beginning early tomorrow. Decreasing showers with periods of partial clearing late tomorrow through Tuesday. Tomorrow's high in the low 50s, the upper 50s on Tuesday, and lows about 40. In downtown Seattle, it's 45 degrees currently. It's 40 at the airport. The barometer rising, it reads 30.10. And taking a look at sports briefly in the National Basketball Association so far today, Seattle beat Atlanta 127-112. Milwaukee over Portland 115-100. New Orleans beat Philadelphia 110-107. It was Boston 100, New York Knicks 94, and Washington over Buffalo 113-90. And in the North American Soccer League exhibition, Los Angeles 2, the Seattle Sounders nothing.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, principal of this little dread schoolhouse, where our curriculum consists of lessons in mystery, suspense, and the macabre. We say they were giants, those founding fathers of ours. And indeed, they were. Giants of intellect, morality, and ability. But they were also human giants, bedeviled by human problems, tormented by heedless children, persecuted by jealous enemies, embarrassed by foolish friends, and even haunted by ghosts.
It's a ghost, John. It must be a ghost.
There is no such thing as a ghost.
I heard him.
You're talking like a woman, Abigail.
And what does that mean?
Well, it shows that no matter how intelligent a woman may be, in the end she has certain weaknesses that... Well, there is no such thing as a ghost.
What's that? Oh, tell me there's no such thing as a ghost.
Well,
what, John? Are you about to start talking like a woman, too?
Our mystery drama, Ghost Powder, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Marion Seldes and Michael Wager. It is sponsored in part by Time Magazine and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You know, I just thought of something.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, over 250,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, if you got all those people together, they'd probably disagree on nearly everything. Religion, politics, sports. I mean, people disagree on all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet all those people, over 250,000 of them, agree on Buicks. I think that's really socially significant, don't you?
No.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone. Today, more than ever, isn't it great to know scouting is still going strong?
Scouting's a lot of fun because you can camp and you can work on merit badges.
Thanks to the United Way and people everywhere, scouting is still teaching our kids ideals worth believing in, ideals worth supporting.
You might even be able to work to Eagle Scout, and it helps you a lot when you grow up. And
get behind scouting. Become a sustaining member. Call the Boy Scouts of America, listed in your phone book, and make a contribution. Let's keep scouting going. Stronger than ever.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The Bible tells of King Nebuchadnezzar, who dreamed dreams that troubled his sleep. One day he commanded his magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers to recreate a particular dream and to interpret it. Daniel, gifted by God with the ability to interpret dreams, told the king his dream and its meaning. Upon hearing Daniel, the king exclaimed, "Of truth it is, that your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets." Dreams and visions are ways in which God can speak to man. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
If you were to say to John Adams, "You can't tell the players without a scorecard," naturally, this great American wouldn't know what you mean. But if somehow you could explain it, he would fix you with that level, steadfast look of his and say that you couldn't tell the players even with a scorecard. Here was John Adams in 1784, getting more flack from our recent French ally than from our former English enemy. Here he was, ambassador to Paris from the United States, and nobody really quite knew just what the United States was, or were. His colleagues, Franklin and Jefferson, were great men, as we all know, but very difficult to live with. His wife, Abigail, insisted that she couldn't run the embassy properly on his meager salary. And when he asked the Congress for more money, their answer was to cut his wages. In addition, their rented chateau, a place called Auteuil, was haunted by a ghost.
But Henri swears he heard him.
Which one is Henri, Abigail?
Henri is the one who cleans the floors.
When did anyone ever clean the floors in this place?
Well, Henri does the best he can.
It isn't good enough.
Now, dear, about the ghost.
There is no such thing as a ghost.
Let us discuss this rationally.
How can you possibly discuss a thing like a ghost rationally? It's a contradiction in terms.
John, you simply cannot close your mind.
Are you telling me you actually believe that...
I am telling you what Henri said.
I see. An illiterate French peasant has suddenly become a respected authority on the supernatural.
Why don't you talk to him?
How can I speak to him? I don't speak his language.
Ah, but he speaks yours.
I noticed that.
You noticed what?
Aha, he speaks yours. The ah of reproach. See how this humble, uneducated man takes the trouble to learn your language while you will not bother to learn his.
That isn't what I meant to say. But now that I hear it stated, I must say I agree with it.
I am far too busy to study this exercise in nasality.
But, darling, you are the ambassador.
Not exactly. I am the minister plenipotentiary. And Mr. Benjamin Franklin is the ambassador.
Well, actually, Mr. Franklin is the ambassador emeritus.
I wish Mr. Franklin would go home to Philadelphia, where I understand he is worshipped.
Mr. Franklin is coming to dinner.
Oh, no.
Why are you so stuffy this afternoon, John? It's so unlike you.
I've been away from Boston too long.
Now, about Henri and his ghost.
I don't wish to talk about Henri and his ghost. What is there that I can say to this superstitious servant who...
Why don't you listen to him first?
Oui, Monsieur Adams, I have heard him.
How do you know it's him?
It's a voice of a hymn.
And what does he say?
He says nothing.
Well, this is a fuss over nothing.
John.
Well, How can he hear him if he says nothing?
He says something, but I do not understand him.
Does he speak French?
Français, no.
Does he speak English?
Anglais, no.
Then what does he speak?
He speaks ghost.
Ghost?
Yes, ghost language.
Oh, there's a ghost language.
Oh, yes, Monsieur Adams.
But what is this ghost language? And where do you hear this alleged language?
Oh, I hear him all over.
But where? Particularly?
In the library, in the bedrooms, and all over.
How can I get rid of a ghost?
You must call in a witch.
A witch?
Yes, the witch comes in and says a charm, and the ghost runs away.
Why?
Because the ghost is frightened.
Oh, now look, my good man. There is no such thing as a ghost, and I think you had better get back to work.
My uncle, he said the same thing. And one morning he is found throat cut.
If you spent more time getting the place clean, as you are paid to do, instead of weaving these impossible fables about ghosts...
The master will give this matter his full consideration, and we shall rid the house of the ghost.
Thank you, madam.
And you may finish cleaning the floors.
I go, madam.
Now, Abigail, I do not relish being called the master as if I were some feudal aristocrat.
Ah, but your dear friend Tom Jefferson is a feudal aristocrat back home, and he is called master by hundreds of slaves.
We are not discussing Tom Jefferson. We are discussing a matter of gross superstition. Why must I indulge him in this superstitious nonsense?
To make my life easier.
What does this have to do with you?
One day, my dear, there will be another revolution. A revolution of the women.
Oh, what on earth do women have to revolt about?
It will come in a faraway future. I shall not live to see it.
My dear, I do wish you would stay to the subject. Although you change it so many times, I confess I am at a loss to know where exactly we are.
Call in a witch and have this demon, this ghost...
This figment of Henri's imagination...
Well, whatever it is, properly exorcised from the premises.
My dear... It does the lower element no good to reinforce their superstitions.
Perhaps not, but it will do me good. Henri's story has infected the entire staff. I want you to go along with this mumbo-jumbo before they all run away.
Oh, let them. We can hire others.
No one will want to work here. Oh, please, John.
Hire a witch. To realize... What would happen if word of this reached home? I'd be the laughing stock of the country.
The thing could be done for a single silver franc.
And Jefferson? What will Jefferson say?
I will tell Henri to find a witch and have her here tomorrow.
I forbid it.
John, I cannot maintain this house without servants. I can't entertain at official dinners, and I insist...
I will not reinforce the dark ignorance of the human race.
John, please.
I have nothing more to say.
This is a matter of housekeeping. It doesn't concern you.
Whatever lessens the dignity and the sanity of the human race concerns me.
You're not making a speech before the Congress. Oh, I'm sorry, John. I just realize how I sound.
Well... I realize how I must have sounded.
Good. Let's compromise. And call in a witch.
No, I cannot permit it.
Do you understand? I can no longer be mistress of this embassy.
Yes, I realize that, and therefore I shall resign the post.
John, this is...
This is an impasse, my dear. Each of us is standing on a principle.
But you can choose to resign.
But I cannot choose to be party to the dark barbarism of the Middle Ages. I cannot sanction witchcraft. Well, the truth of the matter is the French do not wish for us to sign a treaty with England.
John, come to bed.
And neither Franklin nor Jefferson can see it.
We've had enough politics for one night.
They flatter Franklin to death.
Can't we talk about it in the morning?
Of course, Jefferson is so grateful to France.
John,
Can't Tom understand that we did more for France than France did for us?
One day, everyone will understand it, but tonight,
France and England are mortal enemies. Our independence is a body blow to England.
Why do you and Franklin and Jefferson argue so ceaselessly? Each of you has already stated his position.
I intend to go back to Boston.
Yes, dear.
Retire from political life.
Of course.
Tend to the farm.
That would be nice.
Practice a little law.
Certainly.
You don't believe what I'm saying.
Not a word of it. Yes?
Madame?
What is it, Pauline?
Madame, I am frightened.
Of what?
The ghost.
Which ghost?
Oh, I would assume it's the same one.
Oh, now somebody has to put his foot down.
John.
Young woman.
Monsieur.
There is no such thing as a ghost.
Oh, monsieur, one does not make the joke about the ghost.
It is silly, nonsensical, superstition, and I have had quite enough. Now, as master of this house, I order you to get to your bed and have yourself a full night's sleep in order that you may be fit for your duties in the morning. Is that understood?
But, monsieur...
That will be all. Good night. Not another word. You may leave.
You have just transformed a problem into a disaster.
You told me these people were peasants, and so I thought I would speak like a master.
They can't accept you as a master.
They can't? Why not?
Well, it has to do with the customs of the country.
I am becoming rather satiated with the customs of this country.
You do not behave like the master of a chateau.
Well, how does a master...
Well, a true gentleman of the blood would have, in addition to his wife, a mistress.
I'm not old enough. Perhaps when I reach Mr. Franklin's age...
Oh, John, tomorrow morning, please, hire a witch.
Why? It can't be morning.
John, listen.
To what?
What is that?
That? It's your imagination.
You don't hear it?
Yeah, it is. I think so.
Well, is it your imagination, too?
No.
What? What is it?
It's a
ghost.
Now, Abigail.
I know there's no such thing as a ghost, but what do you call that?
Well, it...
John, I remember my grandfather and my aunt. They'd tell us children stories about... John, I'm frightened.
Oh dear Abigail, it's impossible.
This big, gloomy, frightening house. Who knows what crimes may have been committed here?
Abigail, there's no such thing as a ghost.
Then why is your hand shaking?
In broad daylight, in safe, secure, and familiar surroundings, there is never such a thing as a ghost. But in the dead of the night, in a strange country, in a large, gloomy house, one can never really be sure. We have never had, in this country, a more down-to-earth, sensible pair than John and Abigail Adams. But they've never had occasion to spend a night like this one, either. I shall return very shortly with Act Two.
Pardon me, you almost finished with the Time magazine?
Yeah.
It's the only one in the doctor's waiting room, and I haven't read it.
Well, as soon as I finish this Time article, you can read it.
You're tearing the page there.
I just wanted this little science story here. See, it's very tiny that I'm tearing out. That's all, then. Hey, see, on the back of the Time science article is a book review, but it's continued on this page. I'm tearing this page out so as not to confuse you.
Don't rip any more articles out of the Time magazine, okay?
Okay. Oh, darn. You know what I did?
You ripped another page.
I turned the page so quickly, I tore out half this really superb Time article on our economy.
That Time, you know, is for all sick people who come in here, not just you.
Well, the page is hanging loose. I better... before it hurts somebody.
All right. Now, that's it. You're being very selfish.
Oh, now, wait a minute. These aren't for me. These are for the,
Give me the magazine.
Okay.
I'll never miss the Time movie review section. I want it.
Hey, if that's all you wanted, here.
I don't believe it.
What's the matter now? You want me to trim it for you?
I can trim it.
Sure, that's easy to do.
Time makes everything more interesting, including you.
For more than 2 years now, people have been trying to get you to slow down to 55 miles an hour. Down to the speed limit. They've told you that slowing down will save millions of gallons of gasoline. They've told you that slowing down saves thousands of lives, and they've got the figures to prove it. I think those are pretty good reasons. Some of you obviously do, too, because some of you have slowed down. But an awful lot of people, for one reason or another, haven't. They seem to think the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit is something they can take or leave. It isn't. It's a law. With tickets and fines and all the rest, just like any other law. And I should know. I'm a police officer. From where I sit, there's just no way around it. The 55-mile-an-hour speed limit can do a lot of positive things. And it's my job to make sure it gets a chance to work. Not just because it's a good idea, but because it's the law.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
It isn't easy to be a man of intelligence and integrity, to speak one's mind and stand on principle at a time when men are valued for their flexibility. Nor is it easy to be a woman of wisdom and candor at a time when women were valued purely for decorative and pleasurable purposes. And so, we have described John and Abigail Adams. And these two intelligent and rational people are now having what can be described as a crisis of confidence. Each would insist there is no such thing as a ghost. And yet...
Abigail, there is no such thing.
I know, but just tell me what that is.
I am going to find out.
Let me come with you.
No, you stay in bed.
No!
I'll settle this thing once and for all.
John, do we have a pistol?
Now, when did we ever have a pistol in this house?
But you have to have something to...
Well, if it's
to...
a robber, this fireplace poker...
But suppose the place is being robbed. What is there that we really care about? Besides, that... be a thief. Thieves would be quiet. What's that?
I'll go see.
John!
My head.
Just lie quietly, my dear. You have a rather large bump on your head.
What happened?
I don't know. I found you lying on the floor in the hallway. The servants helped me to put you to bed.
The servants?
Especially Henri. Everyone's anxious to know what Monsieur Adams thinks of ghosts now.
I remember. I heard that noise and then somebody screamed.
That was Pauline. She heard the ghost and she was frightened.
I ran into the hallway. Something hit me on the head.
Who?
Didn't have to be a who. It could have been I could have run into that low ceiling beam near the stairwell.
Something was making that noise. Oh, John, may we have Henri call in a witch?
Abby, I...
Dear, what harm can it do? If there's no such thing as a ghost, then all we've lost is a single silver franc. But if there is such
now,
a thing...
Now, Abigail...
Please, John, it's the only way that I'll be able to keep the servants.
All right. But no one must know.
I'll be silent. Silent as the grave.
That is hardly a fortunate figure of speech.
John, dear, this is Madame Pinepesa.
Monsieur.
How you do? And, you are purported to be a witch?
Purported? What does Monsieur mean, purported? I am a witch.
Well, I mean...
Monsieur is a politician. I am a witch. Whose profession is older and more honorable?
Well, what can you do for us, Madame Pinipes?
The noise you hear is the Duc Dormant.
How do you know?
He was strangled in this chateau.
Why?
It was 200 years ago. He was the queen's lover. She came to visit him here. They were betrayed. These things happen.
But if he's dead...
What can I say, monsieur? We are told that those who are killed for love never really die.
Ah, so he wanders about the chateau, does he?
Yes, monsieur. Wandering and wailing for his lost love.
And how do you propose to dispose of him?
That, monsieur, is my own secret. There are tricks to every trade. I do not ask how you employ yours. Accord me this similar courtesy.
Ah, Count de Vergen.
Madame said to wait for you here, Monsieur Adams.
Welcome, Your Excellency. To what do I owe the honor of this visit?
Monsieur, I think we might discuss your rental of several French frigates of war.
Your Excellency, we have no need of...
But you have no navy to speak of at present. And the Algerine pirates?
Yes, we... We do have trouble with the pirates on the Barbary Coast.
And since the building of a battle fleet is, of course, prohibitively expensive...
We are aware of the problems involved.
It will be difficult to raise funds through taxation. Your countrymen cannot seem to agree on the necessity to tax Virginia planters and Pennsylvania farmers in order to protect the interests of New England merchants.
Sir, this is our internal affair.
Naturally, Monsieur.
Besides, we have other sources of revenue.
Have you? I am given to understand that the Prussian loan is encountering difficulty.
Do you, sir?
It is common knowledge. Well, I must be going. Good day, monsieur. Such lovely weather.
Yes. Thank you.
John, Tom Jefferson is in the library.
Good, we have business.
But you and I and Nabby and Colonel Smith were to go riding this afternoon. John, he wants to marry her.
It's time Mr. Tom Jefferson and I reached a meeting of the minds.
John, I said... Colonel Smith wants to marry your daughter.
Later.
No, they don't want to wait.
Do you know what Tom Jefferson is doing? He is selling us out to France.
John, it's impossible.
You're defending. You're actually defending Tom Jefferson.
I disagree completely with his manners, his morals, his philosophy. But I like him, and I believe he's sincere.
Abigail, he has become a creature of the French, and I can prove it.
Well, John, why did you want to see me?
Tom, we must have this out.
What?
Well, George Washington won't live forever. Hamilton, too unpopular, personally. Hancock, Jay, Pinckney, nobody really thinks they have enough.
Enough of what?
Burrs, they're too slippery.
What is all this, John?
This is the talk that's going on at home. This is how people are thinking and speculating. It's going to come down to a fight between you and me.
What kind of a fight?
Power. Who is going finally to rule our country?
I never thought much about it one way or the other. You want the truth, John. I think you're more qualified. You'd do a better job of it.
Maybe you think that, but your friends, your Federalist friends, won't let you think that way forever. They'll egg you on for their own purposes.
Don't you have the same kind of friends that I do, John?
Yes, and all with axes to grind. And I shall be the victim of my friends, too. And it has to be this way, Tom.
Why?
You and I, we are on opposite sides of every question. One of us has to prevail.
Maybe not. Maybe the people will split the differences between us.
Maybe they will. But still, we have to fight it out.
We can fight as friends, John?
No. You have already betrayed me and the country.
Be careful what you're saying, John.
Oh, stop talking like a southern aristocrat. What do you propose to do? Challenge me?
How dare you accuse me of betrayal?
You and I were sitting in this room night before last. We spoke to the progress of the Prussian negotiations.
Yes?
I had confidential information that things were going badly. You and I were the only ones in the city of Paris who knew it, or so I thought. This morning, the Count de Vergen tried to use that fact to strengthen France's bargaining position.
Well, what does that have to do with me?
Well, if you didn't tell him, who did?
Ben Franklin was also in the room.
When I read the dispatches from Prussia, Ben Franklin had fallen asleep.
Oh, what makes you think I told Vergen?
Your friendship for France is notorious.
I am grateful to France for helping us overthrow the British yoke.
Would you have us exchange the British yoke for one made in Paris?
I am here to represent the interests of my country.
You were the only one who could have told us then.
But I didn't do it. On my word of honor. What am I saying? Why am I trying to insist on something that should be beyond question? My integrity. How dare...
Tom,
we worked on the Declaration of Independence together. How can you even accuse me?
Tom, I'm sorry. I don't know what to think. Someone is betraying our secrets.
Does anyone else know?
No one.
Are you sure? Can you swear that not one other single, solitary soul?
Yes, I can swear. Well.
Well, what?
Abigail Mouse.
Abigail?
Well, I have no secrets from Abigail.
But these are matters of government secrets.
I know, but Abby is my counselor.
Abby is only a woman.
Only a woman. Yes, but I share everything with her.
Is it possible? No, I can't say it. Abby could never.
Can you forgive me, Tom?
Well, I'll have to. I'm sure I'll be forced to think, to say certain things in the future for which you'll have to forgive me. But how could Virgin have found out?
I don't know. Unless the walls have ears.
Now, that's impossible, John.
Who can say, Tom? After all, these are French walls.
John.
Oh, did I wake you, my dear?
Ah, you know I always wait up for you. How was your day?
Well, Tom Jefferson and I will somehow manage to live as friendly rivals. The British are impossible. French are unreasonable. They are unmovable. The Prussians are inscrutable. How was your day?
Well, we got through it somehow.
Has our sorceress managed to exorcise the ghost?
So far, the staff seems quiet.
Who could have told Virgin?
Perhaps the courier.
Oh, no. I would stake my life on his loyalty.
Well, it's a problem we should sleep on. After all, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
I agree. I thought our witch took care of all of that.
That's Madame Pinipis.
Madame Pinipes.
Something. Someone struck her down.
Now the servants fetch water and bandages.
You won't get any servant to come into this room. I'll go myself.
Help me. Help me.
Now, just try to be quiet, madam.
It's true. It's true.
What is true?
There is... I never believed, but there is such a thing as a ghost. I saw him. I saw him.
You saw whom?
The ghost. The ghost.
Madam. Madam Pinipes. Speak to me. Speak. Say something. Madam.
That's twice the ghost or whatever has struck. But this blow appears to be fatal. Is it a ghost? Well, we have the word of perhaps a foremost authority, a witch. Who would know more about the subject? You'll get to know a great deal more when I return in just a few moments with Act 3.
If you went into a Buick dealer's between now and April 30th, do you know what would happen? Well, if you ordered one of four cars with a list of specially selected options, you'd get a vinyl top at no extra charge. Like that Skylark over in the corner? Order one with sport mirrors, a rally tilt steering wheel, body side stripes, and vinyl buckets, and Buick pops for the top. To find out about other cars, talk to your Buick dealer. He knows all that stuff.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Who's gonna help a child to walk? Make someone's dreams come true? Who's gonna help them find the key?
school children and adults.
I don't believe it. Tell me again.
Okay. The Internal Revenue Service has over 80 free publications to help answer all those taxing questions you have on your mind.
Uh-huh. What if I'm a flagpole sitter whose pole was attacked by termites?
All right. Flagpole, termites. It's publications 547 and 584.
An aunt left me an elephant, under 12 years of age, for me to care for.
Mm-hmm. Adolescent elephant, 501.
People throw money when my 98-year-old uncle lifts weights at the beach. Is that income?
Mm-hmm. 554 and 525.
Does the IRS have an answer for everything?
Well, just about. There are over 80 free publications for the asking at any IRS district office. You can write for them by using the order blank on your 1040 tax package. Yep, over 80 tax answering publications. Free from the IRS.
Once again, what is so clear in the bright daylight becomes shadowy and blurred in the dim rays of the moon. Madame Pinipes, a sorceress who has been employed by the Adamses to exorcise a ghost, obviously has been exorcised herself. And this is no time to ask John and Abigail if they really do believe in ghosts.
She is dead, John?
Yes.
But how? How did she die?
Well, she...
I saw her lying on the floor. I assumed she'd been struck down, but...
I know. There isn't a single mark of violence.
Then how did she die? Someone, something must have... Now, we heard her scream. We both heard her. And what was she muttering when we came in here?
The ghost.
Yes, and something else.
There is such a thing as a ghost. That's what she said.
So you see, she never really believed in it herself. To her, it was just a way of making money. But then at the very end, she saw a ghost and it killed her.
She...
How?
Well, she may have died of fright. Look at the absolutely terrified expression on her face. Have you ever seen such horror on a human countenance?
I see it. But I don't believe it killed her.
Why not?
Because she didn't really believe in ghosts. She wasn't an ignorant, superstitious person.
Neither are you, neither am I, but we've been having our doubts lately.
And what is this? This thing clutched in her hand.
A piece of cloth. It must be a ghostly vestment, part of the shroud worn by the unfortunate late Duc d'Ormond.
No, not this. Look, it's muslin cloth.
Well, ghosts do wear shrouds of muslin, don't they?
John, this cloth is fresh. New. That proves that she was attacked, and she tried to fight.
We had better call the authorities.
And for what purpose had you employed this woman?
We were having trouble with a ghost, Monsieur Commissioner.
Ah, so, make a note of that, Sergeant. The house is haunted, then?
It would appear to be.
If the ghost killed her...
Oh, surely, Monsieur, you cannot believe in ghosts.
Monsieur Adams, I have an open mind on the subject.
But such a thing, it's not...
It's not what? Possible? Yet, you and Madame say you heard the thing yourselves.
Well, we may have heard the wind whistling through the chimney. Surely, Monsieur Commissioner, you, a man like yourself, you cannot believe in ghosts.
Monsieur, as a police officer, I must adhere to the facts. And these are the only facts we have.
Well, then...
At present...
What do you propose to do?
Nothing.
A woman has been murdered.
Well, the physician who examined her could find no mark or sign of violence.
But something must be done.
I ask you, monsieur, what? If the deed was committed by a ghost, how do we proceed against him? But, monsieur, there is a more convenient explanation.
Convenient?
Well, perhaps satisfactory. The woman was over 80. It is entirely possible she died of old age. Yes, that would satisfy everyone. Sergeant, write that she died of old age. The most respectable killer of all.
Insist on walking outdoors in this dreadful weather.
Because, my dear, we must have a talk.
Yeah.
A confidential talk.
Lorraine!
There is a ghost.
Oh, no, Abigail, not you.
And I can prove it.
How? Oh, please explain it before we catch our death.
John, I want you to make up the most far-fetched story you can think of.
Why?
About politics. And tell it to me in the library.
But I don't understand.
The more impossible, the better.
But why?
John, I'm afraid if I tell you, you won't do it.
But you'll have to tell me eventually.
I won't have to tell you.
Then how will I ever know?
Oh, you'll find out. Now, please, let's go back to the library. And you must tell me the story with a straight face, in the utmost confidence. It must be a very serious matter. You must play your part to perfection.
But my dear, I'm not... an actor.
No, but you're something even better. You are a lawyer.
Abigail, this is incredible.
Really?
Yes, this message I have just received from St. Petersburg.
Really, my dear?
Yes, from Count Ramyuntsev, a confidential minister to the court.
But what have we to do with the Russians?
Well, the Count believes our two countries have a great deal in common.
But I can't imagine what.
Well, you know, the Russians are established on the western end of our continent. We may one day become very close neighbors. We share a common border.
I hadn't thought of that.
France, as you know, holds extensive territories to the south, and they fear she will try to expand.
Oh?
Yes, and the Russians would rather have us for a neighbor than the French.
Well, that makes considerable common sense.
And so they are willing to lend us money to aid in our expansion, provided...
Yes, provided?
Provided we break off all relations with the French.
Oh, I see.
A Russian alliance. Ah, what an interesting possibility. Tom, your early dinner isn't for an hour yet.
You needn't expect me to dine in this house.
Tom, now, what is it?
You accused me of selling out to France, and all the time you were scheming to betray us to Russia.
Me?
You needn't look so innocent. I've been told that you're in correspondence with the court at St. Petersburg.
For what purpose?
How can you ally us to the most tyrannical ruler in Europe?
Who told you I was in correspondence with the Russians?
A confidential source.
The Count de Vergen.
How did you know?
I shall explain it at dinner.
And you say this ghost or whatever overhears our conversation and reports it to de Vergen?
Listen.
That is our ghost.
That sound? Where's it coming from?
The library. And, well, there he goes now.
Where?
Well, obviously, he's leaving the house.
Well, let us settle this thing, John.
No, let me go first.
Oh, no.
Oh, no danger. I shall have two stout gentlemen to protect me. Now, let me open the door. Hand me the candelabra. Now, look.
Where?
Just to the right of the fireplace. Do you see? On the floor.
Footprints?
Yes.
Those are footprints. Outlined in white powder.
Yes. A lady's face powder. Cornstarch powder. I sprinkled some on the floor.
Someone seems to have walked out of the wall.
That wall, it must have a false entrance, a hidden panel. We should have no trouble finding it. Now that we know what to look for, there must be a hidden release. Here, tap against every part of the wall. That's it. Keep tapping all over.
Listen.
We found it.
Oh, look. Look, the center panel is opening.
Listen. The ghost noise.
be a ghost inside? Or can there?
It's a long, long passageway. Feel the breeze.
That's what it is, John, the breeze. The breeze whistling through the passageway when the panel is open. That's what makes the noise.
Are you sure, Tom?
Pull this panel closed. See? The air is no longer rushing along in the passage.
Then the noise is created when the ghost...
Or whoever...
enters and leaves.
And that's why Madame Pinipesa was frightened to death. She encountered him.
It is the Duc d'Aumont wandering about his ancestral home. Or is it a spy who reports all our conversations to the Duc de Vergennes? Tom, shall you help me find out?
Gladly. But how?
The ghost is on his way, obviously, to report to the Count that you and I have had a serious difference of opinion. Let us retire to the dining room and finish our dinner. Give him an opportunity to return tomorrow for his regular evening spy work.
It is no secret.
What is no secret, Count Vergen?
That your country's existence is threatened by factional strife.
Factional strife may be a sign of vigorous national health.
Oh, my dear Adams. Now, suppose France supports your side.
My side?
Suppose we give you money, even troops, in the event of civil war.
Assuming all you say is true, why support me?
We would support a solid, conservative person, such as yourself. Do I make myself clear?
I must say, sir, you seem to have a most incisive grasp of the situation.
We have excellent sources of information.
So I see.
A word to the wise. Consider it.
Indeed, sir. I shall. I fear, Mr. Jefferson, that further discussion between us is pointless.
I shall write to the Congress. They must choose between you and me.
I shall write in the same manner. I have no intention of listening to further lies and slander on your part.
And I have no intention of remaining a moment longer under this roof.
Allow me to show you the door, sir. Well, if our ghost was there, we gave him an earful.
If he was there.
Did you gentlemen stage your quarrel?
Abigail, you shouldn't be here.
Why not?
But it might be dangerous.
But it was all my idea.
You know, Abigail, sometimes it's difficult for me to believe you're a woman.
I accept that as the sincerest compliment you are capable of, Tom.
It was so intended.
Listen.
Yes?
Our ghost bestirs himself.
Right.
Panel has just opened.
Closed. He must be headed for the doorway to the library.
But if he is, I'm ready for him.
Now! Hold him! Hold him!
I've got him!
Abigail, get a light. A light, fetch a light.
Yes.
Here. Look!
Why?
Well. It's the police commissioner.
Madame, monsieur, at your service.
What
am I doing here? Yes, you well may ask.
And we are asking.
You see, I am conducting an official investigation.
Indeed, sir.
Yes. There have been allegations of a ghostly presence on these premises. And so, since ghosts are...
Ghosts are what?
Ghosts are illegal.
You could have told us you were on the premises.
No, sir, but it was a confidential investigation.
I understand.
Have you found the ghost?
No, Abigail, nor do I think the commissioner ever will. Will you agree with me, Commissioner, that the ghost would seem to have left these premises for good?
Yes, monsieur. It would seem that way.
And we'll mention it to no one. Not even to Monsieur le Comte de Vergennes.
Oh, that would be appreciated, madame.
Besides, the library appears to be too drafty a place in which to discuss various matters in the future.
I understand, monsieur.
So I don't think that the ghost will be
entertained by the conversation of Mr. Adams and his friends anymore.
I understand. Monsieur, madame, good night.
Good night.
Well, that's the end of our ghost.
I think.
That noise.
Panel must still be open. Let's close it. It's the wind roaring through the passageway.
John, look. The panel. It's closed. It's not the wind.
Now, Abigail, I am sure there must be a reasonable explanation.
I'm sure there was. But John and Abigail Adams never found it. Within a few months, they received orders from the Congress, which transferred them to England, where John Adams became the first American ambassador to the court of St. James. And if you think he had problems in Paris, when he arrived in London, he really ran... That's another story. I'll be back with a sidelight on this one in just a moment.
This is a message to some very special people. They're special people because even though they may feel fine, they're dying. They're people who have high blood pressure and aren't treating it seriously. If you're one of these people, take a few seconds to listen to some statistics. They may help you add years to your life. Insurance companies have found the higher your blood pressure is, the more years you can subtract from your life. For example, if your blood pressure is 140 over 95... subtract 9 years from your life. And if it's 150 over 100, you could die 16 years too early. Here are a few more numbers to think about. If you don't treat your high blood pressure, chances are 3 times greater that you'll have a stroke, and almost 5 times greater that you'll suffer from congestive heart failure. But you can lead a longer and healthier life if you treat your high blood pressure seriously. See your doctor. Get back on your treatment. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
There's something almost, I can't say supernatural, about Adams and Jefferson. Natural enemies, they were warm friends. They outlived all the other heroes of the Revolution. They became the grand old men of the new country of the United States of America. And America became a fusion of their opposing ideas. And if you really want something to think about, they both died on the exact same day, the 4th of July of 1826, on the 50th anniversary of the Republic. Our cast included Michael Wager, Marion Seldes, Court Benson, Bryna Rayburn, and Guy Sorrell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Who am I going to kill?
I don't know. Your murder line stops short.
Well, will I kill more than once?
No. There is only one murder in your hand.
And will I be caught?
No.
How can you be sure?
Because I see no line of retribution in your hand.
Then I'm to get away with it.
Yes. Because you will obviously have chosen your victim carefully and planned your murder skillfully and executed your killing flawlessly.
Carefully, skillfully, flawlessly. How? What do I know about murder?
Oh, you will learn. After all, Lord Arthur, necessity has always been the mother of invention.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Time Magazine. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. Teamsters Union and trucking company representatives returned to the bargaining table near Chicago on Monday, seeking an agreement to avert a threatened nationwide trucking strike. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Secretary of Labor W.J. Ussery, long the government's chief labor mediator, goes to Arlington Heights outside Chicago on Monday to sit in on the reconvened talks. Over the weekend, rank-and-file Teamsters members across the country rejected a management contract offer and authorized a strike at the expiration of the current contract midnight Wednesday. Contract bargaining was suspended over the weekend while the vote was being taken. Observers say the Teamsters appear to have little heart for a strike at this time, and both union and management sources close to the talks are optimistic that a settlement will come before the strike deadline. A tentative settlement and a probable end has come to the five-day strike at Ford Motor Company's axle plant at Sterling Heights, Michigan. Company spokesman Frank Burnish told CBS News the 6,100 plant employees still must ratify the agreement.
The UAW workers and the Ford negotiators came out of their meeting and did announce that they had reached a tentative settlement and that there will be a ratification vote taken by the union at the local hall at 1 o'clock Monday afternoon.
It had been feared that a prolonged strike at the axle plant could have led to layoffs of 153,000 workers at some 20 assembly plants in North America. As it was, the five-day shutdown forced Ford to cut off production at two assembly plants in Dearborn, Michigan and Metuchen, New Jersey, idling nearly 5,200 workers. Negotiators are reported very near a tentative agreement on a new contract between some 250 stagehands and major Las Vegas Strip casino hotels. A major strike by culinary workers and bartenders ended Saturday, but the hotels are without entertainment as the stagehand strike lingers on. More CBS News following this message.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God guides man. He can reveal his way in words and images, sometimes showing man the path to follow in a dream. In the Old Testament, young Joseph was shown the way in a series of dreams. One dream especially angered his father and his 11 brothers. He told them that he saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bow down to him. Yet the dream came true. The great prophet Joseph became chancellor to the Pharaoh, and his family bowed down before his word. Perhaps you too are being directed by your dreams. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Lebanon's warring factions are sticking to their guns, with Muslim and leftist forces getting more and more of the upper hand. Sunday night, with support from Palestine guerrillas, they captured the Hilton Hotel, the latest stronghold for Christian and right-wing militiamen, who last week were driven first from their former center of operations, the Holiday Inn. The left-wing victory gives additional muscle to their demand that Maronite Christian President Suleiman Frangieh resign. Egypt's President Anwar Sadat has called on Arab nations to send a token military force to Lebanon to end what he termed the shameful and bloody struggle. More on that from Peter Warg in Cairo.
The failure of the latest Syrian efforts to negotiate an end to the Lebanese conflict and Egypt's suspicion of Syria's intentions in the first place are what is behind President Sadat's call for immediate Arab intervention in Lebanon. After Sadat met with his top military and civilian advisors here, it was announced that token forces from a number of Arab states should be sent into Lebanon at once to separate the warring factions. Mediating efforts by the Arab League could then take place. The announcement said that the Lebanese conflict could have dangerous repercussions for the Arab world if it is not stopped. Given the number of disputes and rivalries within the Arab world today, the feasibility of the Egyptian plan is doubtful. Arab League Secretary General Mahmoud Riyad made preliminary feelers towards negotiating in the Lebanese conflict earlier this year, but these efforts came to nothing. Peter Warg for CBS News, Cairo.
Sadat goes to Bonn, West Germany, Monday. Government sources say there it's likely he'll get some economic aid, but none of the weapons he has on his shopping list. Chancellor Helmut Schmidt's government recently reiterated its refusal to supply arms to any nation in an area of tension beyond the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Patricia Hearst is expected to be transported secretly to Los Angeles on Monday, where she'll be arraigned on kidnapping and robbery charges growing out of a shooting incident at a sporting goods store. Officials are keeping arrangements very hush-hush for security reasons. The chancellor and the president of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have ordered an inquiry into allegations that a student from Taiwan is acting as a spy. He allegedly was seen taking photographs of the forum on a Taiwan project, photographs of other Taiwanese students at MIT. John Carpenter, a tenor and an assistant professor of voice at Louisiana's Northwestern State University, got all the gold after being tied for the glory in the annual Metropolitan Opera National Auditions. In what opera company spokesman said was an unprecedented tie, Carpenter wound up even for honors with soprano Ashley Putnam of Franklin Lakes, New Jersey. But it was Carpenter who won a one-year Met contract and three awards totaling $8,500. Miss Putnam will have to settle for the honor of the tie. There was no second-place award. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
This is KIXI, better music and CBS News, 24 hours a day.